Somebody's going to go bridge here. It's matter time.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Gombridge Podcast, episode 135. My name is Andrew Gardner, joined alongside by Alex Clausen and Steve Brady. Boys, how are we doing on this beautiful Sunday evening?
Feeling like Frank Sinatra when he said, "Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today." I don't really know much of the, I don't know the rest of the song that well, but New York, New York.
I'm gonna be a part of it.
Top of the hill. What is it?
Top of the heap. King of the hill.
Yep. Yankees got swept, guys. It's a good Sunday.
Yeah.
They got swept in embarrassing fashion, too.
Aaron Boone said, quote, "They kicked our asses. Good Sunday for a Red Sox-Yankees game. Let's have a day."
I'm pumped right now. We didn't have an episode last week. Lots going on in all of our lives, as it has been kind of all year. But pumped to be pushing out some content today. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about, was it time to panic? The Red Sox were coming off. They were playing before we recorded, or after we recorded, they were playing that third game against Toronto, which they got swept. And we were talking about, man, like, even if they win tonight, the Big Ten game stretch is, you know, against these bad teams coming up. You've got Kansas City, you've got Detroit, and you've got Washington. And they pull out that stretch. They go 6-4. You know, they were looking a lot better heading into the Washington series. But really focused today is going to be on the Yankees series, where the Red Sox are now 8-1 against, if you even want to call it rivals. I mean, it just feels like playing against a triple-A team at this point. But they go into the Bronx, embarrass them the first two games. Today was a nail biter. The bullpen almost broke down, but the offense comes through. The Yankees have lost 8 in a row now. I mean, are we getting to the point where you're starting to feel a little bad for them? Like, the week,
no.
It seems like they have just completely given up over there.
I think it's just a matter of the situation where this team is not good. They have built not a Yankees team. They've tried to buy their way to a playoff team. It's completely imploded on itself. They have a manager who cannot manage the team. They have a GM who cannot put together a team. And they have nobody on that roster who can inspire this team to get a win. It's just, in 2023, this team is just incapable of putting together a quality baseball product for a long period of time.
They are just a big old locker room full of losers and have a loser culture. And they've already given up on the season, mailed it in. They are just a bunch of bums. Aaron Boone stinks. They all stink.
It is a loser culture. I mean, look at the pitching rotation. Garrett Cole, Domingo German, who was probably drunk half of his games, Nestor Cortez, who we haven't seen.
You know what? Well, hold on.
Carlos Rodon, who hasn't played, and when he does, he sucks. And who else?
And Severino, who's the worst pitcher of all time.
I think I saw his numbers the other day. Number one, he got absolutely annihilated by the Braves the other day. I mean, not a God's chance that guy was going to come out and put out a decent start. But I think that guy's ERA in the first inning, Stevie Locks, I'll throw it to you. I don't want to steal your thunder here, but for the rest of the season, I'll be throwing over on the Nerfy for every Severino start. I think his first inning ERA is like a 15.
Dude, I actually saw a tweet that I thought was hilarious, and it was like the day Severino was starting, and it was like, the Braves have opted to not take batting practice before the game. They're instead going to take it during the first inning, and they just teed off on him.
And I mean, how can you not? I mean, the guy is just piping him down the middle. He's giving you nothing to swing and miss at.
I mean, the rotation is a mess besides Cole. But here's the thing. Garrett Cole, at least from what we've seen of him as Red Sox fans, this guy is, I mean, you can make a pretty good case. I'm not going to argue with him if you vote for him to win the Cy Young right now. Like, he's had a great season. When it comes to facing the Boston Red Sox, and Clausen says it all the time, we've been saying it for 3 years now, guy's an absolute mental midget. We saw what happened in the wild card game. He's got, I think, in 13 starts, an ERA of over 5.6 against the Boston Red Sox. I mean, he falls apart every single time. All he's got to do is fix his mailbox, and it comes back to that. And he was never able to do it, and he stinks. And I'm having a lot of fun right now, even though the Red Sox are still 3 games out of a wild card spot.
Raffy Devers is officially his father.
He didn't even hit a home run off him, but like just the fact that it was in the same game, and like, I mean, you know, he gave up the grand slam to Urias, and then, you know, gives up another bomb to Connor Wong. Like, Gerrit Cole doesn't scare me. Like, he just doesn't scare me.
How can you? Because you've seen him in the regular season, and they shell him almost every time, and you've seen him in the postseason, and they knocked him out in what, 3-4 innings back in 2021?
Like that. Yeah, you had the Bogarts home run, and then you had the Schwarber home
run. I remember watching that.
We were watching that together.
I remember listening to it. If you listen back, you can hear you hear the crack of the bat, and you hear Alex Rodriguez go, ooh.
I think the only home run that I've heard that's louder than that one is that one Shohei, where Vasquez is like, oh, crushes.
Shohei smokes baseballs.
Not to put a sidebar on this, but I can't wait for Sunday Night Baseball tonight. I think the Little League Classic is the best thing that they have going. And you put that and you pair it with the ESPN mics that are turned up to 1,000. I mean, it's just gonna be a rocket show tonight.
Well, I'm sure they already have those turned up even more for like, because the kids aren't making as hard of contact as MLB players.
It's gonna sound
like gunshots.
Yeah.
Back to the Yankees.
The Yankees series offense, a lot of offense in the Yankees series. And the Yankees actually had a pretty decent amount of offense against us too. Certain pitchers for the Red Sox, we won, so it doesn't really matter about the negative there. But a couple pitchers kind of got shelled a little bit, including like Schreiber and Whitlock. Both got tossed around a little bit. Pavetta, I think, got beat up on too at certain points. But we just smoked their pitching so bad that it didn't even matter at a certain point.
I mean, yeah, I mean, the Yankees they're done for. Like, they're 9 games out of a wild card now. They're 4 games under 500. They haven't finished under 500 in our lifetime.
Since, like, what, 92 or something?
I think it's been basically, like around 30 years.
Yeah.
Do you guys know what the Yankees, like, team batting stats are? Have you looked at these recently?
They're atrocious. Are they hitting, like,
205 as a club?
230 as a club. 703 OPS.
Yikes. I saw we were talking before we started recording about Julio Rodriguez on the Mariners. If you're not familiar with him, he's a good player and you should get familiar with him if you somehow don't know him. But I saw a graphic this morning and it was the stat comparisons between him the last 4 games and the Yankees. And they both had the same number of hits in the last 4 games. They both had 17 hits. I mean, he's been on an absolute tear, but that had me dying. I was like, man, yeah, the Yankees offensively, an absolute mess. The Red Sox are a wagon. Like, now we've got the full team basically healthy. I know Costas had, like, his little tooth thing. But, like, the lineup is deep, and Urias has had 2 huge hits, especially his grand slam against the Yankees. And you know, he's been an upgrade over like bat wise over Chang, over Arroyo, Story. I know, Steve, you're gonna file your grievances with Trevor Story, I'm sure, here in a minute, but you can say what you want about him with the bat. He's been kind of slow to come around. It's been great to see him back out on the field, but defensively, you can't bat an eye at him. Like, he's so solid out there still.
Yeah, I mean, Story looks really, like, fantastic at short. Honestly, he made some insane plays at shortstop. And his bat has been cold. He has missed a lot of time, though, so it's kind of just a given. I was never, like, I'm rooting against Story, per se. I just knew that he was going to not be able to hit when he came back, and he hasn't. And there's a reason for it, I guess, but at the end of the day, you know, how long is it going to take for him to start getting a couple hits? He had that 1-4-for-4 game the other day, and then he pretty much was a non-factor in this Yankee series with the bat. But like I think OB and whoever in the booth was talking about it after he made one of his really good plays, you know, you weren't getting anything offensively from the shortstop position anyway. So as long as Story's out there saving runs, you know, that good saying, a run saved is as good as a run scored. So there's some positives there for Trevor Story, Gardy.
Well, speaking of Dave O'Brien, and then I've got one other thing. Did you guys hear that? Like, he is not a guy to like mix it up in the booth. Did you hear what he said during the end of the national series?
Oh yeah.
What did he say?
Story made a nice play, and I forget exactly how he started off. He was like, "Not to be this guy, but the first 3 months of the season, that throw was ending up in the in the seats."
Oh yeah, yeah. I do remember he said that, but yeah, I mean, fair is fair. With Kike at shortstop, it was all time bad. It's insane how somebody can be so bad at shortstop, and now we have somebody who's like Gold Glove caliber
good
defense.
I will say, Steve, you mentioned you're never rooting against him, but I will say you're the first guy to point out when he has a bad game and the last guy to say something when he goes 4-for-4.
Well, he only went 4-for-4 that one time, so
yeah,
not a huge sample size there. And I will also say that it's not even that I'm rooting against Story per se. When I say things or point out his bad games, it's more against you guys, because you were against me when I said he wouldn't be able to hit. So I just am proving a point.
Who was it who kept saying that he was going to be a liability at shortstop? Was that you, Steve?
I don't think I ever used the word liability, but it was definitely safe to have reservations. It's reasonable to have reservations about whether or not his throws were going to be super good going across the diamond. But he's a natural shortstop, and I think he looks even better at short than he did ever at second base. So that's also another positive.
Speaking of shortstop, and speaking of the guy who played shortstop for almost the last decade before Trevor Story, did you guys see the news about Xander Bogaerts?
Yeah.
What an awful poor management.
What an awful contract. What an awful contract.
What's wrong with them?
So the Padres are apparently for next season already looking into moving him to either second base or first base.
First base? It's crazy. Who are they going to put it short? What's that guy's name?
I don't know, like other four guys who could play there.
I know, I'm just saying.
Tatis?
You can't put Tatis at shortstop.
Steroid boy?
Yeah. Tatis is actually decent.
You could put
He's good in the outfield.
There. The ankle spiker.
Manny?
Manny?
Yeah, yeah. Moving, could put Manny at short. Could put Cronenworth pretty much everywhere, and then Kim can play pretty much everywhere too.
Feels like moving him to first is like pushing Hanley to left.
I mean, Bogaerts can handle first base for sure, but it's just bizarre that you would pay him star shortstop money and then the next season be like, psych, you're not a shortstop anymore.
Funny part is that it's not even like year six of his deal. Like, we're three quarters of the way through year one, and they're like, all right,
has he been that bad defensively?
I don't have his numbers up. I don't think he's been like terrible. He's not, he like his last couple of years, he's not been fantastic. Like at shortstop.
Last year was the first year he was ever, I think, a plus defender at shortstop.
Yeah, but I mean, I still think that's absolutely crazy.
Soto was gone.
Such a blow to his confidence too. Like, 100%. We just paid you a boatload of money to go be the best shortstop in baseball, and you have a tough year and you're hurt. So let's move you out of the position that you have always been great at.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I miss Xander originally, and we talked a lot about it, like especially our first reactions. I mean, you know, this is now 11 or not that long, nine months ago. But I mean, we talked about how it sucked that the Red Sox didn't bring him back, this and that, the optics of it. But I mean, the contract that the Padres gave him, like, no one ever in their right mind wanted the Red Sox to match that. I mean, everybody was like, damn, they overpaid for the guy.
Well, the Padres' plan of action over the past three or four free agencies was, let's take pretty much the best available player that's willing to come here, offer him essentially the biggest contract that we can offer them, like within like realistic realms of, reason. And it hasn't really worked. Yu Darvish has been okay. Manny Machado's obviously been pretty good. And you got Soto, I think, is having a really good year this year. But for some reason, they just don't vibe as a team.
Clausen?
When was the last time a team got bought. Like, truly, best players were all bought out of free agency, and that team won a World Series. I'm trying to think. The Astros were a lot of homegrown talent. The Dodgers, for as much as they did buy, their cornerstones that year were brought up from the minors. I guess the Sox in 18.
I mean, they didn't buy a lot.
I
I
mean, you
guess
had Devers, Bogarts, and Betts, and the rest of that outfield was all brought up.
like
Say,
Price was the only guy they went out and spent like,
JD,
yeah.
Sale.
Well, Sale was a trade. Kimbrel was a trade.
Yeah, so kind of different
I mean,
than
like the, I mean,
signing in free agency.
2015 Royals, like that was all homegrown. 2016 Cubs, like besides Ben Zobrist and Jason Hayward, like mostly homegrown. Well, actually Rizzo wasn't, but I'm trying to think here. Yeah, like that's a good question. Who won the World Series in 14? Like the Giants. You're right,
And
it Clausen. It's been a
2013
long,
Red Sox?
long time.
But how they didn't have like a
They,
huge payroll that year. Like they just
yeah.
had Johnny Gomes and Mike
I'm just
Napoli
so
and
saying there wasn't a ton of homegrown guys on the
Well, right,
2013
but
Red
I'm
Sox.
saying like the last time a team like the 2023 Mets or the 2023 Padres or you know what I mean? Like a team that has gone out and spent an absurd like an egregious amount of money to
It's
go
been
win a World
forever.
Series. I mean, you could
It's
say maybe the Phillies, except they
I
didn't win.
not I don't know, man. It's been a really long time. And when you think about teams like the last couple of years who have gone out and spent a lot of money, like you think about the Padres the last 2 years, you think about the Mets this year, you think about even I think it was like 2015 or 16 when the Padres went and had they got like the Upton's, you got Kimbrel. I feel like there was someone else. I think they got like Will Myers around that time. Like they went out and spent a lot of money, but it has been a long, long time. And yeah, I mean, still the best way to develop a baseball team is homegrown, which actually like segues, we'll get into like the Yankee stuff here in a minute, but segues well into kind of the Red Sox where, you know, we've talked about this, you know, a fair amount. Clausen?
Final thought. Looking at the standings right now, top 10. I mean, Braves, homegrown, Orioles, homegrown, Dodgers didn't really spend a lot last. I mean, outside of Freeman
Nothing.
and Betts.
I mean, they've got, I will say they have like a lot of depth veterans. Like I do like how that team is built, but still.
Rays, home, they don't spend any money. Rangers, if they win a World Series, that's going to be buying a World Series. Astros, Mariners, Blue Jays. Kind of in the same boat. Phillies have bought a lot, and then you get to Brewers, Sox, Giants, Cubs, Twins, Reds. Like, they're not spending a lot of money.
Not a lot. Not a lot. And yeah, like the Red Sox, the last couple of years, besides Trevor Story, have not spent a ton of money. But now we're getting to the point here where, you know, things are going to be exciting here for the last 6 weeks of the season. The Red Sox still sit 3 games out of the wild card, and you've got a tough week and a half coming up. You've got 4 games against the Astros this week, which is the most important series of the year because the Astros are not that like not far into the playoff picture at all. Like they're only a game in front of the Blue Jays. They're a half game in front of Seattle. So you got if you could take 3 of 4 from them, which excuse me, not going to be easy, but you've got a chance to make up ground here. And then you got the Dodgers and then you got the Astros again. Like we haven't even played Houston yet this year. So you've got lots of opportunity here to make up some ground. And then you got Kansas City again. But the one thing that like I've been thinking about lately is just how many guys on this team are like under team control for a pretty decent amount of time now. And we haven't even gotten like the big gun prospects up. Like I know Sedan's been tearing it up in Triple A. Like I know Meyer's been hurt a little bit, but the future is so bright for this team. And I know for a fact they're gonna go out and try to push for like a big time frontline starter, spend some money this offseason. But you know, obviously, I want the Red Sox to get in the playoffs, this and that. Like, it's been a hit, like up and down year, obviously. But the future is very, very bright. That's not the focus right now, but just kind of a sidebar. Like, there are exciting times ahead. I saw even the name Blake Snell being thrown around as somebody the Red Sox would possibly go after. So, we'll see. We'll see. But Yeah. Sweep of the Yankees.
Yeah, overall, like I was saying earlier, the Yankees did score a decent amount of runs. We just scored a whole
I
hell of
mean,
a lot
not
more.
really. They scored five today, but beyond that,
Didn't they score a good amount yesterday?
one.
Oh yeah, that was that game. Well, they
The
also
game
got a couple
before,
off of
they gave up
Bayo, didn't they?
three. They got three off of Bayo, or just one actually. And then I don't know. The Red Sox really, really squashed them. I mean, at this point, it's just like the Yankees are so like down and out. It seems like they didn't bring any fight. I mean, the pitching was once again very, very good. Like Bayo, I guess we can kind of run into the games here quickly if we're not gonna like really recap the last week and a half before that, which is fine. But you know, Bayo had struggled. He had been struggling a little bit like before that, but a great start on Friday, and like he has looked very, very solid against the Yankees. I forget his exact ERA, but I saw a stat and it was just above two. I mean, six innings. His strikeout numbers haven't been anything like off the charts this year, but only gives up one run, only walks one guy, and just the run support early on in this one. I mean, that was the key. You know, Masataka Yoshida, big home run in the first inning. Three-run shot, and the Sox just, you know, never looked back, and that was just kind of the key, the vibe of the whole series, honestly.
You want to start? You throw your best pitcher out there. He goes six. I mean, he had that one earned. He didn't really strike anybody out, but he set up the Sox for success in that game. And I mean, the offense was the name of the game here. He scored 8 runs, but really kind of the best way possible that you can walk in to Yankee Stadium and kickstart a series.
Your mic sounds weird.
Thank you.
Yeah, is that turned on?
He's fumbling with
I
something.
do. I do want to get in on your neighbor's party. It sounds pretty sweet.
On the what?
On your neighbor's party.
Yeah, I know. They haven't stopped since like probably 11 this morning.
Hell yeah.
Can you hear it still?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
A little bit.
Boston's
Hear
neighbors
it.
are just having a good old Sunday party.
Little BBQ.
Nothing
Little
wrong with
Sunday
that.
funday.
What'd you guys have for dinner tonight? Because I still gotta figure that out.
I ate a pizza.
Did you make it? Did you order it?
I was frozen.
Hell yeah. I actually have one of those. I could heat that up.
Steve, did you happen to go to the grocery store to get that, or what's the deal here?
Well, there's I'm not aware of any other option other than going into the grocery store. So yeah, I like the bum I am, I dragged myself out of bed today and I went to the grocery store and bought a couple items and I said, "Hey, need something to eat tonight." And I really don't want to cook. But maybe I could have made my life a little easier, Clausen.
You know, when I think about nights that I don't want to cook dinner, don't want to order dinner, just want to grab something quick from the grocery store, or you know, maybe I'm sparking my summer celebration next door at a big Sunday fun day bash every week. I would probably order all my stuff through Instacart. If you don't know, a little rusty, but Instacart is an online grocery delivery app that allows you to handpick a variety of fresh foods and products. Forget that ingredient you need to make your famous dish while watching the Sox. Or you're like Steve and you just want a frozen pizza. Or you're like my neighbors and you throw a big bash every Sunday. Order through Instacart. Delivery straight to your door in as fast as an hour. Shop multiple stores. See deals in your area that'll help you save money. Every item is hand-selected at the store to fit the most specific needs. Every item is handled with care. I'm pretty sure I'm going to know this ad read for the rest of my life. Instacart. Never step foot in a grocery store again.
Top of the lineup in the first game. I want to touch on that real quick. The lineup is super deep right now. Super deep. You got, you know, it kind of alternates between, you know, Duran and Verdugo leading off. I know Verdugo was leading off more in the series, but the first game here, they go a combined 11 for 18. And Pablo Reyes, who I will mention, like in terms of big storylines of things we kind of glossed over the last week and a half, that grand slam against the Royals, the walk-off grand slam. That was electric. That was awesome. I know the Red Sox had said that was kind of the night, that was the night before Trevor Story was coming back. And they had kind of said, I guess beforehand, that Pablo was the one who was going to be winning the roster spot between him and Yu Chang. But from, you know, a fan's perspective, someone who doesn't know that, it seemed like, you know, super cool that he goes out, he does that, you know, obviously he wins the spot, which was predetermined, but I know you don't want to be playing that close against the Royals, but that was a pretty sweet moment. And Pablo's had some big knocks. He's been quite the surprise.
Pablo's been very, very entertaining, very good. He can run. Recently, our team just, Red Sox are so notorious for being such a slow team most of the time. They were the past few years. In 2018, we could run a little bit, which I think helped their offense a lot. Now it looks like we might have some guys that can actually run on the base paths and move themselves over by stealing a bag, whether that's Pablo or Duran or Trevor Story. Everybody can run a little bit. So hopefully that generates some runs too. But Pablo's been very, very positive surprise, I'd say. So was Urias too. I didn't think this guy was going to do anything, and he's at least doing something, right?
Both of them have taken me by surprise. I get the, you know, I'm either watching the game when they're at bat, or I get the ESPN notification when I'm not, and it seems like more times than I definitely expected, I saw those two names producing at the plate.
Yeah, and he's been quite the pickup. I mean, he hasn't been like, you know, lighting the world on fire, but
who's this? Which one?
Urias.
Yep.
Like, his batting average is a little bit low in the 8 games that he's played with the Red Sox so far. Like, he's only hitting .208. He's got an OPS of .754, which is like pretty average. And those two grand slams help out a lot. But offensively, he's already giving you. I know Yu Chang had a couple of big home runs too, but he's been better than you, Christian Arroyo. Just not that consistent, but he's been great. Like, the lineup just feels really deep right now, especially when with Reese being back. Like, I'm so happy Alfaro's gone. I'm happy that you know, Strokey Reese is back, and I think there's good things ahead for this team. Like, I feel like I'm kind of talking in circles right now about them, but I mean, I feel like normally we'd be more excited about a sweep against the Yankees, but they just literally feel like they have just given up.
It's just like kicking a dead horse at this point.
My girlfriend texted me that exact line earlier.
Like, she's a smart dead horse.
Yeah, I mean,
the smart woman.
Yeah.
Did you guys see when Whitlock came out? I think in game one or two. I don't know if you were watching, but he did not look good. Whitlock looked pretty bad.
Yeah, Whitlock, he gave up the home run to Judge in game one. Was it game one and game two? Hold on, let me pull this up. Whitlock in game one gave up 2 earned runs over 2 innings. In game two, he did not. Why did I think he pitched game two? Am I thinking... I think I'm thinking of that last game against the Nationals. Anyways.
Yeah, hopefully he'll bounce back, because obviously if you get Pete Garrett Whitlock, then that's a huge thing for this team. Our bullpen's actually been pretty decent for the most part.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, every once in a while you'll get a stinker from somebody here and there. Kenley gave me a little bit of a scare earlier today when he had first and second with Judge at the plate and no outs, but he got himself out of the jam. Got another save. He only has 3 blown saves on the year, which is pretty good statistic. Yeah. But yeah, like I said earlier too, Schreiber got beat up on a little bit. Whitlock obviously didn't pitch superbly.
Yeah.
But overall, I feel like the bullpen's decent, right?
It's been good. Yeah, you mentioned like the stinkers. Like, we talked about this before we started recording, but like, yeah, Schreiber just didn't have his best stuff today. But like, overall, it's been great to have him like back, and I feel like for basically like the first time this season, it does sound like Jolie Rodriguez is done for the year, which after his second IL stint, it seemed like he was kind of starting to figure things out a little bit, but you're going to be without him for the year out of the bullpen. But otherwise, it feels like you finally got like kind of like a pretty solid bullpen, pretty reliable, and I'm not.
Chris Martin's been one of the best relievers in the entire league.
He's been so good. Like, and we've hardly talked about him. He's got a 1.29 ERA this year.
It's like fourth in the majors, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
around there.
He's been one of, if not the best setup guys in the entire league.
Yeah, he's been super, super solid. Kind of what you want out of Whitlock, honestly. What I thought Whitlock was going to be best used as, but Chris Martin, I think we kind of expected him to be decent. Nobody expected him to be this good. He looks old as hell. He is 37. He looks like he's 100 years old. All of his hair is gray and his beard is gray. It's kind of funny. I think OB and whoever else mentioned it in the broadcast when he pitched against the Yankee series. They were like, oh, only 37 years old, not as old as gray hair might lead you to believe. And then he went out there and shoved. He also just looks like straight-faced all the time. He's locked in.
Well, he's thinking about the music that he has to play after the show.
Oh, yeah, after the game. Shout out to Coldplay.
Great band. I mean, the bullpen's just been very solid. I mean, like, even today's game, you run down the line. Like, Winkowski gets the opener. You know, Pivetta, he is just finding a way. I know he had kind of a rough patch, like, his last two or three starts. Like, he's back in the bullpen now. But his swing and miss stuff, like, he had another 8 strikeouts over 5 innings today. You know, only gave up 3 hits. 2 of them were the home runs. But, you know, like, then you run down the line, Schreiber, Bernardino, Martin, Jansen, like, Chris Murphy, he's been fantastic, too. Like, if Whitlock can figure it out, that'd be great. Like, Houck's coming back soon. I know he'll be starting. But overall, man, like, just for the rest of this year, like, the pitching staff, it's pretty good. I know they can build on it for next year. But when everyone's healthy, I like the makeup of how things are.
And then also, side note-ish, I guess, did I see or did I not see some kind of report that confirmed or alluded to Cutter Crawford going into the bullpen, going back into the bullpen? Do you guys see this? Am I making that up?
I think you might be making that up.
Well, either way, I was going to say he needs to stay in the starting rotation. Mm-hmm. He's been really, really, really solid, giving you way more than you can ask from a guy like Cutter Crawford. Did it against the Yankees. Not saying that's a huge feat because their lineup is 1-9, a bunch of bums, and Aaron Judge. But he's going to stay as a starter, even with Houck coming back.
Yeah, so Houck is going to be back on Tuesday. He'll face off against Justin Verlander in his first start back. But I would think they're going to keep Cutter in the rotation. I mean, right now you've got Paxton, Houck, Sale, Bayo, and then I would think you want Cutter Crawford to be the fifth guy, right?
I do.
I mean, I can't think of anybody else. Like, you've got Whitlock in the pen. You've got Pivetta in the pen. Corey Kluber has been shut down for the year, so that'll do it. I know, right? That'll do it for his time with the Red Sox, which was not great. I still cannot believe that I paid money to go to opening day and he was starting. That was just...
Yeah.
Was there a better option, though?
Not really.
I feel like Pivetta would have been better.
I mean, in hindsight, yeah.
Bayo was hurt like the first 2 weeks.
In hindsight, there was 1,000 better options, but I think at the time, you had to trot the guy out that you just paid $10.5 million for.
Yeah.
Watch him throw a clue ball to Adley Rutschman that got put to the moon.
Yeah, that was not a fun game. But I mean, yeah, like the series against the Yankees, like Devers had a couple bombs. You talked about Cutter Crawford. Like, he went out and absolutely dealt yesterday. He only, you know, had only given up that solo home run to Aaron Judge in the sixth inning. Like, he had a no-hitter through 5. He's been just fantastic this year, and he's been a guy through our time of doing this show now for almost 3 years, where he went from a guy in 2021 where I was like, I cannot stand Cutter Crawford. Like, he's, you know, just a bad pitcher, to he's just had a huge turnaround. And I mean, even last season, I was like shaky if I wanted him even in the bullpen. And then he kind of proved himself as like a long reliever. But I mean, as you mentioned, Steve, like, you can't justify pulling him out of the rotation right now at all. You just can't. He's been so good.
Yeah, so that just goes to show, like you were saying, the makeup of our roster is pretty good. Between the lineups, pretty deep. Starting rotation when everybody's healthy is pretty good. And the bullpen can be elite at times.
Yep, yep. The other guy I want to touch on real quick who had another monster series, highlighted by another monster game today where he hit a home run and had the go-ahead RBI in the ninth inning, Justin Turner. I mean, you want to talk about a guy who has come in and exceeded expectations. He has been phenomenal this year. I mean, you know, playing a little bit of first base now with Costas out the last 2 days, but he has just been so damn reliable. He's hitting .288 now. His OPS is at .844. Like, his 20th home run of the season today. And this, I mean, preseason, I feel like the feeling with Turner was just like he's a guy who's going to come in, you know, DH for a year until, like, you know, Meyer's ready to come up or one of your other prospects, and you can move Raffy there a little bit, or, you know, Casas, Story, whatever. I want Justin Turner to come back next year.
Oh, absolutely. He's going to, too. It's his option, right?
I cannot remember whose it is, but
I'm pretty sure it's his option because I think they were talking about it on Friday's broadcast, and they had him. They had Justin Turner do like a mid-game interview in the dugout, and they were like, you know, why the Red Sox over other teams? And he said something along the lines of, they were the only team that gave me a 2-year deal. So
it's wild.
It's a vote of confidence.
He's hit, so his career high for home runs is 27, which he's actually done three times. He did it in 2016, 2019, and 21. So he'll probably be close to breaking that, but yeah, like, there's been a little bit of turnover on the roster. We talked about, like, Arroyo and Chang. But how are we, like, overall feeling about things now? I mean, I remember, you know, weeks ago, beginning of the season, like, this stretch being circled as this is going to be the make or break. And, you know, inevitably it is now, because you had the Yankees who preseason were going to be good and they're terrible. So whatever, we got through that with a sweep, which is awesome. But now you've got, yeah, Astros, Dodgers, Astros, and this is a huge 10 game stretch. So what are our, what are we kind of feeling coming into it?
I'm good, man. I think, post this stretch, we're going to be able to determine whether this team is actually contending or not. I think they're either going to be in or they're going to be out. I think that's a given. I'm confident after they have one series a year against the Blue Jays where they get absolutely throttled.
Mm-hmm.
And they got it out of the way, which means it's not coming again, knock on wood. So I'm feeling confident post that, because they play the Jays again. They see the rest of the AL East, but these next three series coming up, I think that this is the time that you wanted to be playing them. Backs against the wall, you got to fight like hell, and you got guys coming back. I think if Story is going to improve this year and come back to some sort of form that we expect, it's going to be in the next series or two. Guys are getting healthy. Guys are hot. I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I feel pretty good too, I would say. Pretty good. Overall, though, realistically, doesn't matter how we feel right now until that second series against the Astros is over, because that's what's going to make or break us, really. Playing two really good teams for whatever, 10-plus games. And If we win, we're gonna make up a lot of ground in the wild card. But if we lose, we could really see ourselves in a bad spot.
I would say, my last comment is, they're away at Houston, but they have some really good pitching. So they have Paxton Sale, Bayo Crawford, the next four games, which are the four guys that I'd want on the mound. And then after that, you have L.A. and Houston at home, which means they can wear the yellows. And that, again, should be a lineup of Paxton Sale, Bayo Crawford.
Yeah.
So one game in the middle. So your last game sorry, your first game against LA and your last game against Houston, probably going to be a bullpen game, but where you have them see and sail Bayo twice, I think that's a fighting chance in both of those games.
Yeah, we didn't even mention that yet. That it seems like out of the depths after that sweep to the hands of the Blue Jays, Red Sox break out the yellow jerseys for six games. And they went 4-2, which was cool. But yeah, you gotta preserve the magic in those a little bit. I will say, what's up?
Can't overuse them.
They still have a crazy good win percentage.
With great power comes great responsibility.
That it does. I will say this. After last episode, I said, and I'm kind of cheating a little bit here, because I said, I said after this 10-game stretch against Kansas City, Detroit, Washington, I would be able to make a judgment on whether the Red Sox are going to contend in my eyes or not. And we got three bonus games, which obviously the Red Sox won all of them. But I think coming down to the wire, they're gonna be contending. Like, it's going to be a photo finish in the wild card. Clausen, as you mentioned, like, you've got one more series against the Blue Jays. And I saw people on Twitter being like, oh, this again, they play so bad against the AL East, like, blah, blah, blah. They were either 6-0 or 5-1 against Toronto up until that series had started. And, you know, they've been crushing the Yankees this year. Like, that hasn't been the problem. There are just other good teams in the AL. But, you know, Seattle's won 6 in a row. They're not going to keep that up. I know Houston's sliding. You've got a chance now to make up some ground against them. And then, obviously, you're not that far behind Toronto. So there is an opportunity here to make up ground. I really do think that, you know, coming down into the last days, week of the season, the Red Sox are going to be right there with the Astros, the Blue Jays, Seattle, and Toronto. I can't remember if I said them or not, fighting for two of those spots.
Yeah, as long as we make it into the wild card, could make a little noise.
You never know.
Make a little noise.
It's fun now. You know, it's not just one game. If they got into the wild card, they'd play either probably Texas or Baltimore. So you never know. You never know. Any other thoughts from the last two?
I'll tell you what. I'm excited for September and October baseball. If it's going to be a photo finish in the AL, it's looking like it's going to be in the NL too. The Cubs are surging. Oh, the Phillies are surging again. Padres are falling off. I mean, everything's kind of coming into form. And then you get into the playoffs, and, man, you don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs.
I mean, the NL is even more jammed. Like, you've got seven teams. I think, let me pull this up real quick. Yeah, you've more so six. I think the Padres are out of it, but you've got six teams fighting for that too. And I mean, this is why they added the extra wild card. Like, it's fun. There were good teams being left out of the postseason. Like, I think six teams in each league is perfect. Don't expand it anymore. But yeah, the NL is tight. I want to see just one of the Diamondbacks, Reds, or Marlins get it. I think that'd be cool.
I'm kind of pulling. I mean, the NL East is set. No one's touching the Braves. Yep. But I would love to see Phillies Cubs for three games. I think that is a great series. Is that how the Cubs been playing?
If the Cubs end up winning the Central and the Phillies get that top wild card, yeah, you'd get that. And the Cubs are three games back in Milwaukee. I mean, it could happen.
It's definitely doable, but I'd love to see Phillies. I'd pin them in. And then either Cubs, if they win the division, I'd love to see the Reds kind of keep the Cinderella run going. And I'm kind of iffy on the Brewers. Like, I'm not really partial. I think the Cubs and the Reds have the best story to make a wild card run.
Yeah, I love the Diamondbacks. Like, I know I've been hot on them since the beginning of the year. Like, I picked them to make a wild card, so I'm pushing for the Snakes. But lots of drama in either league, and it's starting to thin out a little bit. Like, the Angels have fallen out of it. The Yankees have, you know, so is Cleveland. And then, you know, obviously the Mets and Padres have as well. So starting to get a little bit of a clearer picture here as we're moving into the later stages of August already, which is absolutely crazy this season has been flying by. But we got some questions.
From who?
From Matt.
They're from Matt.
Dog. Oh,
Matt.
I woke up to text from you guys. I was feeling great this morning when I read what you guys had said. Matt got a mention in our group chat.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Andrew Gardner, dog. Gonbridge Graphics Department, dog. Steve Brady, dog. Matt from Questions with Matt,
dog.
Dog.
It's an all-time video.
The first question comes in from Matt. He says, what's the earliest you've left a game? I'm going to take this one first, Matt. We have a rule in the Gardner family. It is the one Gardner family rule, and it is that you never leave a game before it is over.
That is the correct answer. I never left a baseball game prior to the finish of the game. Because even if they're losing, everyone's leaving in the seventh, you leave in the ninth,
yeah.
Beat traffic.
Exactly. Oh, I mean, the perfect example, who was the guy who stayed through the 28-5 game? It was this guy. I couldn't leave.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever left early either. There's just no point. You pay to be there. You might as well just be there, right?
Exactly. I think only time I've ever even considered it was if my option of staying late would have cost me missing the last train of the night out of the Garden and having to sleep somewhere on the streets.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think unless for dire circumstances, I'm not leaving. Because again, you reverse beat traffic.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. Next question comes in from Matt. He says, what's the last time you rode a train for free?
I mean, the commuter rail very rarely would check tickets, so.
Yeah.
Commuter rail. Sometimes
especially
you'll get
busy.
What was that?
He said, especially when it's busy.
Oh, especially when it's busy. Yeah. I was going to say, sometimes you get lucky with like the Green Line or Orange Line. If you like move quick, or sometimes the gates will just stay open, you can get off of those free sometimes too.
Yep.
How much money do you think the city of Boston loses from like stuff like that?
It's a lot.
Yeah. The amount of, I've had the same Charlie card since I think 2018, and I'm not sure I've ever put more money on it, which either means I bought one that just had way too much credit on it, or I've just, it's just infinitely. It's just kind of like an infinite green card.
Infinite glitch. Charlie card hack.
Charlie card, yeah. Not green card.
Third question comes in from Matt. He says, what movie or TV show character scared you the most as a child?
Probably the ventriloquist puppet from Goosebumps.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, no, he was scary. People will know what I'm talking about.
I used to be scared. The first time my mom tells me the first time I watched Finding Nemo when I was younger, I was scared of the sharks. But I would also say not really a character, but a moment. When I was younger, I used to be very afraid of like thunderstorms. And so the first like time or two I watched The Wizard of Oz, I was terrified of the tornado scene. Oh, yeah. Oh, that guy's Jesus. Creepy.
Oh, yeah. He's scary. I also, the baby son from Teletubbies.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That
Teletubbies as a whole was just creepy.
Yeah. Weird show. Imagine your like profession is like you're the Teletubby.
I don't know what that says. Ready?
Yeah, I can't read that either.
It's, you know, look at the picture. Bryce Harper is a Philly fanatic bat.
Oh, that's cool. Looks like one of the show skins.
Clausen, you got a scary character?
Probably Steve from Blue's Clues. No, I'm kidding.
He was the man.
Yeah.
He was the man. That's not a good answer. I can't really think of one. I'm not much of a movie guy. I especially wasn't one as a child.
What's the male song Steve sings in Blue's Clues?
We just got a letter.
Yeah.
We just got a letter.
Wait, hold on.
I wonder who it's from.
And then he opened it up. Be like, yeah. Hey, Steve. I don't even know what was Blue's Clues even about. You remember specifics?
Solved mysteries, bro.
That would be such a good way to open up Questions with Matt.
What made us think?
We just got a DM. We just got a DM. We just got a DM. I wonder who it's from.
DM from comes Matt. In from Matt.
I think that's a winner.
I think 135 episodes in, we finally struck gold.
Still thinking of new things, man.
Also, Matt sent us a second message. Steve, I don't even remember what we were exactly talking about last episode, but he said, also, Steve's 401k is looking pretty skimpy. Upper management's been embezzling money for years.
Yeah, no. I don't know. I don't remember the conversation.
I don't either.
I do have one, though. I have a 401k.
Hell yeah. Real quick, you guys ever watch Instagram Reels?
Yeah, constantly. Melt my brain.
Have you guys come across this guy, Tony P, yet?
I don't think so. What does he do?
This guy popped up on my Reels page like a week and a half ago, and he's a 24-year-old bachelor in DC, and he vlogs his life, and it's like borderline.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no.
You have seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's electric, and I love watching him, like, his stuff. And I only thought of that because I just clicked on Instagram. He's the first thing that popped up. But he's also, so he's from Boston, I guess. Look this guy up if you haven't found him. It's _ Tony P in DC. Actually, I'd love to get Tony P on the pod, possibly.
Wild shout out to Tony P.
But he's from Boston, and when they were in, they were playing the Nationals last week. I know he went to the game, and he, like, for his work fit, wore like a Red Sox like polo. And someone on Twitter was like, posted the video, and they were like, whoever the hell this guy is, it's his fault the Red Sox lost the series to the Nationals. And I was like, whoa.
What did
he
do?
No Tony, there'll be no Tony P slander anywhere. Guy is so wholesome. Great videos. I'm all here for Tony P in DC.
Go give him a follow. Tell him Gombridge sent you.
Pete Blackburn even follows him now. When I first started following him, he had like 7,000 followers. In a week, he's got 22,000 now. He's blown up.
You know who I love watching, not to pivot away from Tony P?
Come on. Pay your respects to Tony P, and then you can pivot.
All right. My favorite guy on Reels, TikTok, whatever, is the guy who always like stitches the video of someone just throwing like a heater, and he's like straight gas, no curveball, no change. Have you guys seen that guy?
I have not.
No.
Oh, he's hilarious. My favorite one, I watched it probably 10 times. It was so funny. The video of the girl beaming Mike Pence in the back of the head with a water balloon, and it's just that video, and then it flips to him. And he's just holding the baseball, and he's like, straight gas. No need for a curve. Oh, only gas.
That's awesome. Real quick before I forget, just looking on Twitter, it sounds like the Red Sox had an absolute party in the locker room today after the sweep. Like, AEC apparently got pulled out of his press conference by Kenley and, like, came back and was just, like, covered in beer.
Why?
I don't know. I guess you sweep the Yankees, officially clinch the season series.
Yeah, I guess.
Real quick preview for Houston before we wrap this thing up. Game one, Paxton versus Christian Javier. Game two is going to be Houck versus Verlander. Game three, Sale versus Urquidy. And game four, Bayo versus France. Not Ty France.
It's going to be a 2-2 split.
Going to be a big week. I could see a split, and then I think I'm going to say they take the series at home against the Dodgers, although I will say it's going to be a big-time homecoming. You've got Mookie for the first time, which is going to be interesting. How do we think the reception is going to be?
You got to cheer. You got to cheer.
You think? I think so, too.
You got to cheer.
He left.
True. You've got him. You've got JD. You've got cheers. Brazier.
Joe Kelly.
Got Kike. Yes. What?
If Ryan Brazier comes out and doesn't get shelled, people are going to lose it.
He's not going to investigate
the Dodgers.
If he starts warming up, you guys remember the video of Gerrit Cole getting heckled in the bullpen before the wild card game?
Yeah, we almost had that guy on the show.
Oh, that's right. I might buy a ticket right next to the bullpen every game of that LA series in case Brazier gets up. That dude's not coming in.
You should bring in like you know how I brought the Kermit? You should bring in like a skeleton and just have its head like at like 45-degree angle.
I should bring a tardy pass for his kid.
Yeah, seriously. Ryan, your kid's going to school yet?
Yeah.
That was wild. Yeah, we'll see if all five of them get in the game. Gonna be a hell lot of tribute videos. You think they're gonna have one for Ryan Brazier?
Absolutely not.
I think that maybe.
What are you gonna show?
He's on the team for 6 years.
What are you going to show? Him going out against the Blue Jays last year and letting up 6 runs?
They're going to find some. I don't even remember if he pitched in the World Series or not. I'll have some footage of that.
No.
He had the one good year. I don't know. Break it out.
I think they're just going to have one long video.
Imagine it's just a video of like Brazier walking his kid into school. It's like, thank you, Ryan.
Walking into court with his wife.
If you are confused about what we're talking about, go listen to our season preview episode, and you'll find out why Ryan Brazier had to go to court because his child missed too many days of school. Sox won the World Series. That's all that matters.
Yep.
You guys got a Yahtzee of the week?
It's got to awesome. Be Urias, man.
Yeah.
Off of Gerrit Cole, grand slam in Yankee Stadium. It's an absolute FU.
I agree.
Here's like your average Tony P.
video. Yeah, no, I know him.
Look at that.
Do you guys see the video that I sent you?
I've not watched it yet, no.
No, not yet.
No, it's the best. You guys have definitely seen him. His name's Cedric.
No, I have definitely not.
Oh, yeah, Cedric rings bell. No, I haven't seen
him. Yeah, you're missing out.
Are you talking about Ceddie?
Huh?
Talking about Seti, dude. Should have said that.
C Moles. My Yahtzee of the week. It's just gonna go to Tony P. Like he's dude, gonna get my Yahtzee of the week and Alex Cora Impact Player of the Week. I don't care what people say. If Tony P costs the Red Sox a series win in Washington, Tony P hit the real homer. Being the guy he is, supporting the team.
Yep.
Tony P gets a Yahtzee and he gets a point like 0.8.
My Alex Cora Impact Player of the Week is going to go to Justin Turner because every time he got
Turner,
up to bat,
I hardly know her.
Every time he got up to bat with runners in scoring position, he got RBIs. So he's just a machine. You expect him to go up there and get a hit. He's an unreal fella. I give Justin Turner a 0.84.
I'm going to give Anthony Volpe my Alex Cora Impact Player of the Week for putting one in the fifth row today and allowing the Sox to win the game. Going to give him a cool, calm 0.33 just because that only wins a third of the series. But I think Volpe is deserving of that for just absolutely choking at shortstop today.
Shout out.
Jeter would be proud.
Shout out.
No more would never.
I think we got to try to get Tony P on the show for next week. We got to.
Yeah. That'd be a weird interview.
Steve just like just.
That'd be a weird interview, but yeah, sure. Why not?
I think it'd be great. He's an up-and-coming influence.
We definitely would have had weirder interviews.
Who's the, like, what's the, I mean, no. We've only had straight-A guests.
Lars was the weirdest interview.
That was weird.
It was Lars.
At the end, was it while we were recording or after where he was like, all right, I'm going to go play sand volleyball, guys. Thanks for having me on.
I think it was after.
He's also like, check out my music.
Yeah.
And then he unfollowed us on Instagram.
Yeah.
His house stuff isn't bad. I'll give it to him.
Who's Lars? I only know Larza.
Larza, yeah. Larza.
Larza with the accent mark and like capital A. It's the last letter.
Imagine going into a club and they're just like, Lazy! And then everybody's like raving to it. Be like, I know this guy. This is crazy.
You guys got anything else before we close out the ninth?
Isn't that what closing out the ninth is?
That's what exactly what it is, Steve. And I say that every single show. Closing out the ninth. What do we got?
Closing out the ninth is, you know, Sox are like right on the brink of something good. I think they're right super close to being like a legit contending team with like good culture, like a very legit roster. And people are going to recognize it. They're very close to being able to do that. Or they're very close to, you know, staying where they are, if not falling back a ways away from the wild card. And it all comes down to the next three series against Houston and LA. I have confidence, though. I think we're going to be okay. I think we're going to be better than okay.
You know that Kendrick song? It's like, we going to be all right. I think that's how it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's a good song. I'm going to share with everyone what I shared with you two. Read a Nesson article earlier. It sounds like Manny Ramirez will be playing in the Czech Republic next year. Add it to the list of countries he's been to. Can only imagine what stipulations are going to be in his contract about, you know, what he gets an absorbent amount of for free. Can't imagine the sushi in the Czech Republic is, but who knows? Also saw a concert at Fenway.
You can say the name of the guy. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, it went to Morgan Wallen. Well, there was two. There was Zach Brown Band and Morgan Wallen.
Are they saying Wagon Wheel?
That's not either of them.
Did he sing Sunrise, I think it's called?
No.
What?
No. Yeah, Guardy, I'm not going to lie. If you go down his album, it's like one of the least downloaded songs from
I
his
love
album.
That song. I don't listen to a lot of Morgan Wallen. And what's that other thing? It's like one thing at a time or one day at a time?
One thing at a time. He played that. That's what his album's called. So, of course, he played that.
Okay.
He didn't play 98 Braves, which was cool. He claimed to be working on a song about the Red Sox.
Yeah, that's so such bullshit. I also
liar. He says that in every show. You liar.
What do you think the funniest thing? Like, he's at a city touring. He's like, what's the funniest team he could say that about?
Like the Oakland Athletics.
I'm trying to like.
Well, that's history, man.
Trying to think. Yeah, he's in Seattle. He's like, I'm writing a song about the Kraken.
Yeah. Shout out to Kraken fans.
But it was pretty cool seeing a concert at Fenway. I had great seats. It was a good time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad you had fun.
I did have fun, Steve. And,
I'm glad.
Who'd you go with?
It's too bad they don't keep the stage up all year.
Yeah.
Be a cool extension of the monster.
Yeah.
Definitely. Can you imagine? Remember when you guys ever hear about when like the grandstands burned down for a little while and they just let them play it in foul territory?
No, I actually didn't. I've never heard about that.
Like long, long time ago, a bunch of seats burned down in left field, and they just let the players use it as foul territory so you could like jump the fence and just walk up there and catch the ball.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's sick.
A stage in center at Fenway would probably be cooler than the Hill in Houston.
Yeah, as long as Morgan Wallen's still playing.
He plays 162 games a year. Yeah. Sorry, 81 games a year. Constantly.
Oh, yeah.
He did wear the City Connect jersey, too, which is cool. It looked like it was number 7. So
you have a Masa jersey?
Yeah, I was thinking Vasquez.
Steven Drew's City Connect jersey.
Who's the most irrelevant player he could come out with? Because he came out with Larry Bird the night.
Who else wore 7? Trot Nixon wore 7. Steven Drew. Christian Vasquez had it for a while. Masa.
He comes out with a 72 Jacoby Ellsbury jersey.
Pedro Siriaco.
Yeah,
58.
Right.
Like, well, that was Bogarts, right? Before he turned.
He was 72.
He was 72.
Was comes he 72 too?
Yeah, he was 72.
Was Bogarts. That just the number they just give guys? When they
I think,
like,
was, that's honestly.
What was Pedroia's number before he was 15?
He was 64. 64. Like
a 64 Dustin Pedroia jersey.
Comes out with like a 68 Daniel Nava jersey.
That would go hard, dude.
if he came out with a 5 Nomar jersey, I would have given him a lot of props for that.
Imagine that would have been the coldest thing you could have came out with.
That would definitely be cool. Imagine he comes out with a 68 Nava jersey, but instead of Nava, just says like Naver, like how Jerry Remy used to say it.
R.I.P.
Comes out with a Yoenis Cespedes jersey.
I was thinking that.
Tony Renda. Long live. I hope that man got a ring. You think we could get Tony Renda on the show?
An 04 Orlando Cabrera World Series jersey.
Yeah. Edgar Renteria.
Yeah.
Doug
Minkiewicz.
Yeah. Gabe Kapler.
Yeah.
Rocco Baldelli.
The options were endless.
Kelly Shopik.
The options were endless.
Casey Kochman. Mark Kotze.
Name every catcher that's ever played for this roster.
Ryan Hannigan.
Oh, that would be a great one. A 10 Ryan Hannigan jersey.
Boof Bonzer. Manny Del Carmen.
Give me a Bobby Jenks 74.
Yeah, let me get an Eric Gagne, please.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So many good options.
Yeah, I'll take a Mike Kickham, please.
Yeah, give me a Matt Hall jersey.
Oh.
That guy. I probably would have walked out. Like, all right, this guy has no idea what he's doing.
What if he comes out? What if he came out wearing a shirt that just said "The Giving Socks"?
Starts throwing socks out into the pit.
The Giving Socks with Matt Hall on it. I'm pumped. That episode is only 4 months away, folks.
Stay tuned. He did miss an opportunity. He could have came out in a Gone Bridge t-shirt.
Could you imagine? What would you have done? What would you have done if he did that?
I think I would have passed out.
You would have had to be like, get me on stage.
He's like, is Alex Clausen here? He's like, I love your podcast.
Yeah. Morgan Wallen, if you're listening, we'll send you a shirt. Just shoot us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're even remotely mildly famous, hit us up.
Yeah.
No matter who you are.
Yeah. Tony P. my closing out the ninth.
Jonathan Van Every jersey.
Yeah. Just a Larza shirt.
Yeah. They should do a Larza concert.
They should do a concert with Yolmer Sanchez.
I got it.
Gorky's Hernandez.
He comes out in a hitter.net hat like Ted Williams did in the 99 All-Star game.
Citrus Hills.
Yeah.
Citrus Hills. Fuck this.
A Fred Lynn jersey actually would have gone pretty hard.
I love like the 75 Red Sox jerseys. Oh, those are sick. Drew Palmer. my closing out the ninth thought. DM us without looking it up. Who's the most random Red Sox player you can think of? My closing out the ninth thought. I thought of this genius name for this episode before the show. Start spreading the brooms.
It's a good one.
That's all I got.
It's great.
Red Sox, come on in. It looks like I'm eating my microphone right now.
You are.
Red Sox, come in. Sweep the Yankees in the Bronx. 9-4 in their last 13 games. And now a crucial stretch. 7 of their next 10 games against the defending World Series champions, the Houston Astros, who are just about to fall out of the playoff picture. If you enjoyed what you listened to, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Gone Bridge Podcast and Twitter at Gone Bridge. Don't forget to subscribe to our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. And we'll be back next week with episode 136. See ya!